Muslim ibn Aqil was the nephew and son-in-law of Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamuhu alayh. And he was also a close companion of Imam Hassan alayhi salam and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But who was Muslim? How did he live his life? And how did his life conclude in the lofty status of Shahada? This is Unsung Heroes. Muslim was the son of Aqil ibn Abi Talib, the brother of Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamuhu alayh. And ever since his childhood, he grew up alongside the pure family of Imama, learning the true ways of the Muslim from his uncle and his cousins. During his youth, he studied his religion properly, and he was well versed in Islamic affairs. He was even known as a faqih or a jurist in Islam. Although Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam left this transient abode before the birth of Muslim ibn Aqil, this didn't stop our Prophet from even praising him before his birth. It's narrated that one day, Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamu alayhi was sitting with the Prophet and he asked him, "Ya Rasulullah, do you love Aqil?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi replied to Imam Ali alayhi salam, "E wallah, inni la ahibbuhu hubbain, hubban lahu wa hubban li hubbi abi talibi lah. Wa inna waladahu la maqtulun fi mahabbati waladik, fatadma'u alayhi uyunul mu'minin, wa tusalli alayhi al malaikatul muqarrabun." "Yes, by Allah, I love him for two reasons. I love him for himself, and I love him due to the love Abu Talib had for him. Verily, his son shall be killed for the sake of your son's love, and the eyes of the believers shall mourn over him, and the close angels shall send their salutations upon him." At this point, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam began to weep so much that the tears fell onto his face and from his face onto his chest. And then he called out, "O Allah, I complain to you about that which will befall my family after my death." When he grew up, Muslim ibn Aqil married the daughter of Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamhu alayh, who was named Ruqayya. And this gave him the honor of being the son-in-law of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Muslim was even renowned as the bravest son of Aqil, and he took part in the conquests of Northern Africa alongside his brothers. Also, during the era of Imam Ali alayhi salam's khilafah, Muslim was one of the steadfast soldiers of his army, and he even served as one of the commanders of the right wing of the army of Islam in the Battle of Siffin. Eventually, that fateful night in the holy month of Ramadan came to pass, and Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamu alayh bade farewell to this transient abode. Here, Muslim didn't waver in his belief whatsoever. He continued to serve as one of the steadfast commanders of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam's army, at a time when most of the companions were being deceived and bought out by Muawiyah's coins. Now, let's fast forward some years. Muawiyah has died, and now his corrupt son Yazid has taken the reins of the affairs of the Muslims into his dirty and polluted hands. Now, the first thing on Yazid's to-do list was to take allegiance from some of the high-ranking Muslims in society, one of whom was Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Because he knew if he did this, it would give his government some sort of legitimacy, or at least to look that way, as if it's legitimate. However, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam knew that by placing his hand in the hand of Yazid as allegiance, he would be destroying everything that his grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam had worked towards developing in this Islamic society. Therefore, Imam Hussein alayhi salam announced, "Mithli la yubayi'u mithla." A person like me can't pay allegiance to a person like him. Imam Hussein alayhi salam left the city of Medina for the holy city of Mecca alongside his family. And Muslim ibn Aqil stayed alongside his Imam every step of the way. Now that Imam alayhi salam and his family had reached the holy city of Mecca, the people of Kufa sent an enormous amount of letters to the Imam, telling him and asking him, pleading to him to come towards them and lead them. However, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam wasn't sure whether he could trust the people of Kufa. After all, these were the same people that cleft his father's head while he was in the state of sajda and attacked his brother Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam's tent, rubbing the prayer mat from underneath his feet. Can you imagine that? They had no shame. They were willing to even go into the tent of their own Imam, steal his belongings, and even pull the prayer mat from under his feet. So for this reason, Imam Hussein alayhi salam decided to send a messenger to the people of Kufa to see whether they were actually being honest or whether they would just betray him like they did his family before him. Imam Hussein alayhi salam knew that he had to choose somebody trustworthy for this delicate operation. And so he chose somebody close to him, so close to him, so close that he was even part of his own family, in fact. That's right. He was none other than Muslim ibn Aqil. After all, Muslim was born and raised in the city of Kufa, so the people knew him and they trusted him already. In the letter Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam sent to the people of Kufa with Muslim ibn Aqil, we truly see the position of Muslim ibn Aqil in the eyes of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. قَدْ بَعَثْتُ إِلَيْكُمْ أَخِي وَابْنَ عَمِّي وَثِقَتِي مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي مُسْلِمْ ابْن عَقِيلٍ. I have sent towards you my brother, cousin, and trusted companion from my household, Muslim ibn Aqil. Muslim set off for the city of Kufa immediately, bearing in mind that the Imam alayhi salam had ordered him to keep this mission a secret. Muslim set off for Kufa, but first he took a little stop in Medina to bid farewell to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and his family, and also to hire two guides who would take him to Kufa. On the way, however, his two guides unfortunately died from the severity of the thirst on the path, and Muslim barely managed to reach the city of Kufa with great difficulty. When he arrived in Kufa, Muslim chose to stay in the house of Mukhtar ibn Abi Ubaid al-Thaqafi, one of the renowned Shias in the city of Kufa. Muslim used this house as a base to propagate the message of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam to the people of Kufa. In one of these meetings with the Shias of Kufa, Muslim recited the letter of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam aloud, and the Shias wept in eagerness to meet their Imam alayhi salam. Eventually, over 18,000 Kufans paid allegiance to Muslim ibn Aqil. So, Muslim sent a letter to Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, encouraging him to come to Kufa and telling him that these people were trustworthy. However, the ruthless tyrant Yazid had caught wind that Muslim ibn Aqil was gathering support for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam in the city of Kufa, and the governor of Kufa really wasn't doing much to combat this. So for this reason, he deposed the previous governor of Kufa and he appointed one of the most bloodthirsty governors in Islamic history, whose name was none but Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, as the governor of Kufa. His mission? To quell the rebellion in Kufa and to execute Muslim ibn Aqil whenever he finds him. As soon as Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad entered into Kufa, he went to the mosque and delivered a sermon, saying that anybody who supported Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam in any way would be killed and his family would be taken captive. By this time, Muslim ibn Aqil had long since moved from the house of Mukhtar al-Thaqafi, and he was now living in the house of Hani ibn Urwa, one of the elderly companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi, and another of the prominent Shias of Kufa. By this time, Ubaydullah had already become a little bit wary of Hani, and he eventually gave in to his suspicions. He hired one of his own friends, called Ma'qil, to go and infiltrate amongst the ranks of the Shias and find out where Muslim ibn Aqil was really hiding. Eventually, Ma'qil managed to prove himself loyal to the inner circle of Shias around Muslim ibn Aqil, and he was allowed to regularly visit Muslim ibn Aqil in the house of none other than Hani ibn Urwa, subsequently confirming the suspicions of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. So Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad ordered for Hani to be arrested and imprisoned, but we'll leave that story for another episode inshallah. Perchance Muslim wasn't at the house of Hani at that time, and when he found out that he had been arrested and allegedly beaten, he was enraged. Muslim immediately ordered the Shias of Kufa to mobilize, and they gathered 4,000 soldiers in no time. They marched to Masjid al-Kufa and they besieged the palace of the governor. Ubaidullah was petrified by the awesome power of the Shias, but this satanic and cunning man had a few more tricks up his sleeve. Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad summoned the Kufan chiefs, such as Shimr ibn Dhil Jawshan and Shab'ath ibn Rib'i, and he ordered them to go and frighten the Shias who were gathered in the square, telling them things like, you know, the Syrian army is just outside the gates of Kufa. They're going to come in and destroy you. Unfortunately, the simple-minded Shias of Muslim ibn Aqil believed their lies without doing any research of their own. All it took was for one person to go outside the city and see whether there were anybody there. So everybody began to desert the emissary of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. He prayed Salat al-Aisha in Masjid al-Kufa with only 30 men behind him remaining from the 4,000 men. Imagine that, 4,000 men and now only a handful, only 30 remain. And if you thought that was bad, by the time the night grew, he was left with nobody. The emissary of love in a city filled with hatred, cowardice, and endless betrayal. Muslim began to wander from street to street, alleyway to alleyway, with not a house in sight where he could take refuge. Eventually, Muslim came across a house where a lady was waiting outside. He said Salamu alaykum to this lady, whose name was Tawa, and he asked her for some water. Once Muslim had drank the water, he sat down outside of her house. The lady saw this, and she asked him, O servant of Allah, haven't you already drank? He said yes, and she told him, then go back to your people. However, Muslim didn't say anything. She repeated herself, but he still didn't reply. After all, what could he say? Eventually, he told Tawa, I have no house or family in Kufa. Would you like to do for me an act of goodness so that I may repay you later? She asked, what do you mean? And he told her, I am Muslim ibn Aqil. This ummah has lied to me and betrayed me. When Tawa heard his name, she was stunned. This was the emissary of her own imam standing right in front of her. This believing lady immediately opened the doors of her house to him, giving him a room and also something to eat. Eventually, the lady's son, whose name was Bilal, came home. Bilal was a corrupt youth affiliated with Ubaidullah and his henchmen, and he would drink alcohol late into the night. When he came home, he noticed that his mother was going in and out of a certain room of the house that they wouldn't use very much. So he asked his mother, what's going on? What's happening? Tawa didn't want to tell him. After all, she knew about his affiliations. However, Bilal insisted, and Tawa gave in to his pressure. She told him that just for that night exclusively, they were hosting the emissary of none other than Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. As soon as Bilal heard this, his eyes flashed with the reward he would get for giving such news. He rushed to the palace of the governor and informed them that Muslim was staying in his house, and Ubaidullah sent his men immediately to go and arrest Muslim ibn Aqil. When Muslim heard the sound of the hooves of the horses outside, he understood that once more the people of Kufa had betrayed him. He wore his turban and unsheathed his sword, charging outside of the house like a lion and pouncing upon anybody he could find. He killed several and wounded others. Picture the scene. A man in his 50s faced with enemies much younger than himself. Yet they still can't bring this man to his knees. After all, he did learn his fighting skills from the undefeated warrior of Islam, Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. The enemy understood that if they were to fight him one-on-one, they would be killed. So they decided to fight unfair. They began to hurl stones and blazing torches from the rooftops at this great man. They even offered Muslim a letter of immunity, but he was a follower of the doctrine of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, who said very clearly on the day of Ashura, Hayhat minna dhilla, far from us is humiliation. Eventually, after a fierce battle, Muslim was wounded severely and the enemy managed to overwhelm him. While on the way to the ruler's mansion, one of the enemies noticed that Muslim ibn Aqil was weeping. So he taunted him by saying, one who seeks what you sought shouldn't cry when he encounters what has happened to you. Muslim replied fierily, by Allah, I do not weep for myself. Rather, I weep for my family who are coming towards me. I weep for Hussein, and Hussein's family. When Muslim arrived at the governor's palace, he was dying from the thirst of the fight. So he asked for some water to be brought for him. When they brought water for him to drink, he brought the cup to his lips, but the blood from his wounds fell into the water, making it haram for him to drink the water. This happened 3 times, and on the 3rd time he said, Alhamdulillah, if the water was written as my sustenance, I would have been able to drink it. It seems like a tradition of the martyrs that they all must leave this world in a state of thirst. Muslim was taken to the court of Ibn Ziyad, who taunted him and cursed Imam Ali alayhi salam and his progeny. When Muslim heard this, he was infuriated and he retorted, "You and your father are more deserving to be cursed, so do whatever you like, O enemy of Allah." At that moment, Ibn Ziyad ordered for Muslim to be taken to the top of the palace and to be beheaded. Muslim ibn Aqil made his will to the only person there present who was part of his tribe, Umar ibn Sa'd. That's right, Umar ibn Sa'd, the murderer of the plains of Karbala, was a member of the family of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and Muslim ibn Aqil. In his final will, Muslim ibn Aqil could have asked for anything in this world, but the only thing that came to his mind was to inform his master and his imam, Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, not to come to Kufa, for these people are treacherous and they will betray him just like they did his family. Then Muslim ibn Aqil was taken to the top of the castle and he called out, "O Allah, judge between us and those who lured us, belied us and betrayed us." Then the accursed individual, Bakr ibn Humran, struck Muslim ibn Aqil's neck, severing his blessed head and throwing his blessed body from the top of the palace. Thus, Muslim ibn Aqil, this loyal companion of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, attained the lofty status of martyrdom. Yet this wasn't the end of the tragedies that befell him. After his death, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, this heartless man, ordered for the blessed body of Muslim ibn Aqil to be hung from its feet in the city of Kufa. And he also sent his blessed head to the palace of Yazid in Damascus. Yet, Muslim will always remain a source of inspiration for all of the liberated souls in this world. May Allah have mercy on him and bless his soul. So now we know who Muslim ibn Aqil was, how he lived his life in this world, and how he left this world in the esteemed status of martyrdom. So remember, if you wish to leave this world a martyr, we must first live in this world as a martyr, wherever you are.